steps are growing wearier each day. Still I've got a journey on my mind. Cares of this old world have ceased to make me want to stay. And my one regret is leaving you behind. But if it proves to be his will that I am first to go, somehow I've a feeling that will be. When comes your time to travel, likewise don't you be afraid, for I will be the first one that you see. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be praising God with that angel band. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow water, reaching for your hand. Life, we've labored hard to earn our meager fare. It's brought us trembling hands and failing eyes. I'll be waiting on that shore, and I'll keep a watch for you until you come with me to paradise. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of joy. Side banks of Jordan, I'll be praising God with that angel band. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow water, reaching for your hand. And I'll come running through that shallow water, for your hand.
Let's sing. A haven of rest, you and me.
Probably do it again next week
with Dad. We'll get a little rehearsal here. 388 in your book if you want to follow along. You can hum along, you can sing along, whatever.
I
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Jonah. Chapter 4. Jonah, chapter 4. For those of you who haven't been here for a little while, well, Jonah's already been swallowed by the whale, and he got himself right with God in the belly of the whale, and the whale got sick of Jonah, and no, the Lord caused, he spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And then Jonah, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, and he did what the Lord wanted him to do. He went to Nineveh, that Gentile city, that wicked city that it was, that wicked city which caused Israel a lot of trouble, to whom Jonah was a prophet. And he preached, he said to them, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He just walked through the town and preached that gospel to them. What gospel? The good news that God's going to destroy their city. I guess that isn't good news. That's kind of bad news, isn't it? But nevertheless, it was the news God wanted that city to hear. And God has called that prophet Jonah to go to that city. And last week we learned that that city responded to the word that Jonah preached. And the whole city, the king himself, and even the cattle were caused to get in sackcloth and ashes and repent to the Lord of all the things that they have done. And they were hoping, verse 9 of chapter 3, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And verse 10 says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. We talked about how God repents of things last week. But chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. By the way, if you sit here this morning, if you're listening to me on the internet, and you have a Gentile heritage, and you have no connection to the nation of Israel at all, you should be shouting, amen, glory, hallelujah, for the God that Jonah is describing in the midst of his displeasure. Okay? Because you're saved because of this God that Jonah was displeased with. I'll finish reading that verse 2. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live, Jonah says. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. It's like as if Jonah says, I'll go out here and see if God's going to destroy this city or not. See if he's going to do it. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Now, he was exceedingly angry with the Lord repenting, but he's exceedingly glad over the gourd that God provided. Verse 7, God's going to teach him a lesson. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. This Jonah, He needs to be straightened out, doesn't he? He's got a problem. Verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? I believe that refers to children that are not of age to be able to even understand things. So we have 120,000 children. I tried to figure this out, and I don't know if my math was correct or not, but you know what? This could mean that the city had maybe 500,000 people in it, if not more, depending on how you try to figure it out, you know, with two parents, how many children, and this would be little tiny children mentioned here, so how many more other maybe teenage children are there? You know, try to figure it out somehow if you want to. If you come up with a better figure, I'll be glad to hear it, but you know, maybe 500,000 people in this city. That Jonah is exceedingly angry over God being gracious. And here this little thing of a one day thing of a gourd coming up to protect him from the heat. And then one night it's destroyed and he's angry over that. And the Lord said, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And Jonah, he's in trouble. Spiritually, he's in trouble here. I do well to be angry. I wonder, do we do well to be angry with God's mercy and God's grace? I have some things. Oh, and by the way, it ends, the book ends with, and also much cattle. God, you know, God made everything. He made even the cattle. And all the creatures that are walking around us. Mentioned to my wife, I don't know if you've noticed, here we are in the springtime, and you have your windows open a lot of times. How is it that the birds know when it's 4 o'clock in the morning? They know, right? And I've checked this out. I've watched my clock because I can't sleep too well these days. And I'm up 3 or 4 times in the night, and sure enough, like 3:55, I hear the first bird, and then the second, and the third, and they're out there going at each other. 4 o'clock. Don't they know that I want to sleep some more? Do you know that all the creation, and it's so beautiful to listen to them. They have a song, and yet they don't even know where their next meal is coming from. Right? They don't store things like we've 20 years in our house. We've stored all kinds of stuff. Those birds just go from day to day. The grace of God upon them. But they have problems. We've had 2 dead birds in our yard. And I think it's because of the mushrooms that are growing in my yard. I think they're eating them and dying. And that's all because of us, our sin has brought a curse upon creation, and they are in travail and in pain along with us until the redemption of the sons of God someday, when everything will be made right. Looking forward to that day. How about you? Amen? You looking forward to that? Amen. That sure was a sick amen. Okay, all right, but it'll do. That's because you're probably all not feeling so well enough to even say a hearty amen. But one of these days it's going to be straightened out. But God even mentions the cattle here. Jonah, there's 120,000 children in there who don't even know their right from their left hand. Yeah, it could be they're still in the womb. We had pictures of Kelly's baby girl, by the way. All right. Baby girl in her womb, and it's moving its hands around. I think it was sucking on its hand or doing something. And it's just, you know, it's only, if it's that big. Don't even know the right from their left hand, Jonah. And much cattle, Jonah.
Yeah, but these people represent enemies of the nation of Israel, and I'm a prophet to the nation of Israel. And if I go back and tell them what I did and how they repented and got right, and now God's sparing the city, they're our enemies. I might as well die. It'd kill me right now, Lord. You know what? Don't ever be thinking that suicide is the way out of a problem. It is not. It is wrong. It is taking a life that God gave to you. And you need to live it for the honor and glory, not of yourself. Well, if things don't go right with me, I'll take care of it. No. That's just like Jonah. I do well to be angry. You do not well to be angry in the face of the wonderful grace of God. And Jonah, you're a godly prophet of the nation of Israel for the same price that it will cost to save Nineveh from their sin. The blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. So don't you be getting angry with God over things and problems in your life and everything. Well, I'll just end it. No, that'll be just the beginning of problems. That'll be just the beginning of them. You stay here until the Lord's done with you, or until he takes us home to be with him in heaven. And you just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how bad things can get down here. Oh, Jonah. Jonah preached the judgment of the Lord to the nation of Israel. And then he's displeased when God is gracious. Because of God's graciousness toward Israel, Jonah knew he very well might do the same thing to Nineveh. And he said, that's the reason why I ran to begin with. You know what, Jonah? You would think he would have learned something. Jonah, do you want another whale to swallow you now? Do you need another example of God getting you back to where you need to be? I do well to be angry. Oh boy, Jonah, you just were vomited out of the belly of a whale. Haven't you learned yet? You know, I think it's interesting, isn't it, that the book ends without you knowing whether Jonah ever got straightened out or not. It just kind of leaves it right there as a lesson for all of us to just stop and think about. Well, I wonder what Jonah's response was to that. He doesn't tell you. You ever like a movie like that that ends without telling you how it really ends? Or a book that, you know, you get to the end and you're like, well, what happened? Kind of leaves you hanging, making you think, and kind of making you bring the only conclusion that should be. And I would think that Jonah should have said, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being angry. Sorry for not acknowledging that you are a gracious God. Jonah desires death. You know, Elijah did the same thing. Remember that? Remember his great victory on Mount Carmel? The 400 prophets of Baal? And the great challenge there at the two altars? And how they tried to call down fire from heaven on there and they couldn't. Baal didn't answer. And then Elijah gets his all soaking wet and everything so that fire really couldn't burn it. Especially soaked it with a lot of precious water at a time of what do they call that one? Drought. Drought. And he calls unto his God and his God answers and burns that thing up and even burnt the stones and the rocks and everything. And Jezebel, the wicked queen, said, I'll get you. Send a message to Elijah. Elijah, if you're not like those prophets tomorrow, I'm going to get you, in other words. And he runs. And he runs away. And he hides under a juniper tree, which God provided, by the way. And the Lord says, Elijah, what doest thou here? He says, he starts complaining, I'm the only one that's serving you and being faithful to you. And the Lord had to tell Elijah, I have 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee yet to the Lord, Elijah. You know, Elijah did not do well to be angry with the Lord. Jonah did not do well to be angry with the Lord, and neither should you or I. We do not well to be angry with the Lord. Jonah was jealous of God's grace being shown to that Gentile city of Nineveh. You know, God does that throughout the Bible. Now, I know he didn't do that with Sodom and Gomorrah. He just destroyed them for their wicked ways. Fire and brimstone out of heaven. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and under Joshua went into the promised land, Canaan land, they were told to destroy all the nations there. And he said, I want you to destroy man, woman, and children, and their cattle, and destroy everything, their homes, everything. Wipe them out completely. And it's given in several places in the Old Testament. And I'll take you to one, Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. I'm going to just read a few verses here, because a lot of liberals and Bible haters and Christ haters like to go to the Old Testament and accuse us of having a God who's like a butcher. Oh, told Joshua to kill all those people. What kind of a God is that? Oh, wait a minute. Let's understand something here. God always exercises grace before he exercises judgment. He always does that. That's because our God is a kind and gracious and tender, forgiving transgressions type of God. But you know what? If you say no to him too long, finally he has to say, all right then, judgment will come. Leviticus 18 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. And go a little bit further, down to verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done. Referring to the people who were living in Canaan before Joshua brought Israel in to take the land unto themselves. He's referring to how wicked those nations were who lived in the land before Israel came in. Verse 28, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, there's other places in the Old Testament as well that tell you why God saw fit to destroy those nations and completely wipe them out. And it was Israel's undoing when they came into the land under Joshua and did not fully conquer the peoples. And sure enough, just as God told Moses would happen, it happened to Israel, that they began to take unto themselves the practices and customs of those people in the land, and they defiled themselves before God. And as a result, eventually, God had to send them off into captivity. And it isn't until recent history, folks, that we see Israel back in the land. Because they defiled themselves with that abomination which was going on before in the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan, before they came in. Now, you see our own country, our own culture, the United States of America. Let's just bring it right down to here. Interestingly enough, in Leviticus 18, The list of things that God, under the law, tells Israel not to defile themselves with is actually a listing of what the nations were doing before Israel came into the land. I want you to see, I'm going to kind of go through it, skim through chapter 18, the verses I didn't read. And you tell me, or you tell yourself, is this not America? And therefore, doesn't America stand in need of judgment as well? But before we get too high and mighty on this, remember Jonah. Remember Jonah. Remember Nineveh. All right, but I'll get back to that. Let's look here. Look at verse 6 and 7. Nakedness of your father. Don't look at it. Mother, don't look at that. Or your father's wife, don't do that. Nakedness of thy sister, don't look at that. Nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness, don't look at that. Notice this nakedness stuff. We're coming on summertime here in America, and you know what? Men, what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to put blinders on your eyes. I already see too much flesh being shown already. And may it not be here in Ray Street Baptist Church. Get yourselves covered, ladies. Cover yourself up. I don't want to see what only your husband's supposed to see. You cover yourselves up. Be godly Christian women. But out there, I'll tell you what, you got to go through like this and keep your eyes on good things. Well, go all the way down to verse 21. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Do you know the children of Israel ended up doing that? Offering their children unto the god Molech. I equate that to all the children offered under the altar of expediency. I don't want to have to take care of them. So they offer abortion. Do you realize how many millions of babies have been offered on the altar of, we don't want them. We don't want the consequence of our sin. Oh, we've done illegal sexual activity before marriage and now we have a child and we don't want it now. Abort it. That's one of the options and it's one of the biggest options today. My daughter-in-law sits down there with a precious little baby inside of her. I can't imagine doing away with that life. Can't imagine it. Purposely, you know. That's awful. The nations were doing that back then. They're doing it today. All right, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what? So, you know, that's homosexuality. That's an abomination. The Bible says it's abomination. To God, that's how he looks at it. It's abomination. You say, well, that's under the law. It's still the same today. Still, God looks at it the same way today. Marriage is still one man, one woman. Verse 23. Oh, this will never happen in our society. Yeah, guess what? It's coming. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. You wait. Somebody's going to want to marry a dog and give it Medicare and Social Security benefits. Well, a lot of other things we laughed at 20, 30, 40 years ago would never happen, and they are common way today. Oh, it'll never happen. Oh, yes, it's here. Verse 24, and right back to our passage we just read. Defile not thyself. Verse 24. In any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled. That's America. That's America. I just wanted to bring that out, but I want to tell you something. God has been gracious to Gentiles all through mankind's history. Jethro, On the backside of the desert, Moses marries his daughter. And Jethro was a priest of Midian, obviously a godly man. Though he wasn't in the line of Abraham, he was a godly man. Then the Jebusites, remember that? When Joshua brought the children of Israel in, they faked the children of Israel into thinking they were from a far country, and they made a deal with them, and they lived in Jerusalem. And as a result, they made a covenant with them. And, hey, God was gracious to the Jebusites. In fact, he even stuck up for them when Saul put a bunch of them to death. God stuck up for the Jebusites and said, that was wrong for you to do that. You broke your promise with them. And he judged Israel for it. How about Ruth? Studying Ruth on Sunday nights. A Moabite girl from a Gentile background. Moabites are a Gentile crew. Oh, I know from Lot, but they intermingled. They were considered Gentile. God takes that young girl, Ruth, who lost her first husband, and gives her a kinsman redeemer in Israel, in the land of Israel, and just marvelously works to provide for her and for Naomi, the mother-in-law. Just a beautiful picture of God's grace reaching down to a Gentile and actually lifting Ruth up out of the Gentiles. And you can go to the Gospel of Matthew and you can find her name in the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it reminds me of another Gentile woman, a harlot woman. What's her name? Rahab. Rahab the harlot, an inhabitant of Jericho, Gentile. You know what happened to the city of Jericho. The walls fell down flat as they marched around, but God saved Rahab. She married one of the Salmon, I guess his name was, married in one of the soldiers, gave birth, and lifted her right out. Go to Matthew, and there's Rahab in the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I say that to say this. You who are Gentiles by heritage here, you ought to be thankful. You should be shouting amen. I know you don't shout amen, but you ought to be shouting inside your heart. I should see it coming through the countenance of your faith, your face. I should see you say, amen, preacher. I'm so glad that God in his grace reaches down to Gentiles as well. All through the Bible he did that. It's not just a New Testament thing. All through the Bible. And then I come to Nineveh. Nineveh. After Nineveh, I see God even saying in prophetic scriptures, I will take care of Moab. I will take care of Edom. I will take care of Egypt. You know, Egypt's going to be there in the kingdom. He's going to do a great work in them. He's not going to wipe them off the face of the earth. Though many would like to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. That's not going to happen, okay? God isn't going to allow that to happen. But God's even going to be gracious to Gentile nations as well. Has not God been gracious to the United States of America? How about Britain? Do you know most of the churches in Britain are closed? Nobody goes to church anymore there. It's happening here. How many of your neighbors got up and went to church this morning? You're probably the only one getting up and going. Some went last night. Get it over with. Quick. They accommodate everybody. Okay, but getting past that. Britain. And then you and me were saved. Now there's a problem. Are we like Jonah though? Are we waiting for the rapture in order to see God's wrath poured out on an unbelieving world, almost as if to wish death than to stay in this world that needs the grace of God? I like to talk about, I can't wait for the rapture. I hope it's today. You know, I want to go home. I want to be with the Lord. And don't we all? Wouldn't we like to be snatched right out of here before the service is over? Go to be with the Lord. How many would like that?
I didn't know which way to say, raise your hand or say amen. Amens were kind of bad last. I want to go. But you know, why are we still here? We're to be a witness. And we can't be like Jonah. Can't be like Jonah. I do well to be here. Come on, Lord, come and get us. I'm sick of this world. Come and get us. And we will keep on singing those songs, you know. The unclouded day, you know. This world's not my home. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. But you know what? I'm still here. And we better not be like Jonah. We do not well to be angry. We need to have a passion. Just as God is gracious to save sinners all around us. I know every one of you has some family member who still is lost. If you have one like that, raise your hand. Anybody got any lost relatives? Raise your hand. Put it up there. I want to see. How many have all your whole family extended to everybody? They're all saved. I can't. Can't raise my hand. Are all your neighbors saved? They need Christ. They need the gospel. And we get upset if our health isn't just right. Jonah was upset. Why did you kill that gourd? Well, it was shadowing me, Lord. I do well to be angry over the gourd. Oh, boy, the Lord had to teach Jonah something. Jonah, don't you know that there are 120,000 people, children in that city, who can't tell their right hand from their left hand? They can't tell. What do you want me to do? They've already repented. They've seen the error of their way. Now, I know I'm going over, but will you look at the book of Nahum? Just two verses I want to show you in Nahum. Can you find Nahum? It's after Jonah. So if you're already at Jonah, go a little bit further. Keep looking for it. Even I have to kind of like hunt for it myself. Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah. Hey, did you see Micah? Nahum is right after it. Okay. Habakkuk is after it. It's tucked in between there. Micah and Nahum. Nahum chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Down to verse 9. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Do you know what the book of Nahum is all about? Nineveh repented in the day of Jonah. And God graciously said, I will not do the evil upon this city that I said I would do. 100 years later, the prophet Nahum is called upon by God to pronounce total destruction of Nineveh. Just 100 years later. Didn't take long for them to get back into the sin and wickedness. United States of America, 1776, we started. We've been around longer than even Nineveh was. But do you think it's ripe for judgment? Yes. But God is still merciful and gracious, and he will save sinners. In your hymn book, there is a hymn, 672. I'm closing, okay? I know. The roast is burned. 672. Now, Jason, we're going to sing 671. I'm going to read 672 because I don't know how to sing this song. But I want to read it to you. Al Smith and A.A. Pollard wrote this song. Alfred Smith kind of added some words to it or altered some things. It goes like this. Lord, is it I? Light has been given, light from above. Light for all nations, pardon and love. The world's vast millions, sin-blinded, die. Someone has failed thee, Lord, is it I?
Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Someone has failed thee. Lord, is it I? Millions are dying. Oh, hear their crying. Someone has failed thee. Lord, is it I? Verse 2, life has been given. Life for the lost. Life through a Savior, crimson the cost. The world's vast millions, sin stricken, die. Someone has failed thee. Lord, is it I? Verse 3, oh, can you answer, Christian, tonight? I have been faithful, Lord, in thy sight. While earth's vast millions, sin sentenced, die. Someone has failed thee. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Someone has failed thee. Lord, is it I? Millions are dying. Oh, hear their crying. Someone has failed thee. Lord, is it I? 671 across the page, you do know that song. Let's sing the first and the last verse of it. If you can get up with your creaking bodies. 671. Let's sing first and last verse and be dismissed. Notice the end. Jesus is merciful. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. We'll close with prayer, but on your way out, take a track. Take just one track. Just take one. And guys, fold it, put it in your wallet, or put it in your pocket. Ladies, put it in your wallet and leave it somewhere. Give it to someone between now and next Sunday. You'll have to be blessed doing that. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to go not being like Jonah. We do not well to be angry and waiting for the judgment to fall and hope for the rapture. Oh, we do hope for the rapture, Lord, but while we're here, may we occupy till you come. Be busy about helping souls get saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.